Okay, go ahead.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to another beautiful morning of devotion. I will be your host, Sirius Taylor. Before we get started, let us offer a quick word of prayer to the Lord to guide us into this morning's devotion. Dear Lord, give you praise and thanks for waking us up this morning. We know that before we call you, you will hear us, and even while we are waiting, you are ready to answer prayers. Please be with us, O God, as we study your word, as we seek to get closer to you. And please save us when you come a second time in your eternal kingdom. Help us to be doers of the word, and hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, this morning our text of meditation will be taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This morning we will be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. It is imperative that we in our Christian experience bear fruit, because bearing fruit, we are showing progress. We are showing that Christ is really transforming or converting us more into His image and His likeness. And so, as you can see right here in the verse, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first one it starts out with is love, which I thought was very important, because without love, you have nothing. There is no joy, there is no peace, there is no long suffering. Love is the key ingredient that follows the rest of the fruits in this list of fruits of the Spirit. And I just thought that was very important. But let's focus on love a little bit. What is the definition of love? Or what is love?
Love comes from the Greek in this particular verse, agape, which means that unselfish, sacrificial, unconditional love of God.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what love is. There's different types of love, however. And spoken of here is definitely the one found in the one found in the Greek definition of agape, and of course unconditional love. And unconditional love is a type of love that endures throughout trials, circumstances. It does not waver. It is just there. Regardless of whatever changes, unconditional love does not change. Our agape love does not change. We have two different other types of love that we know are mentioned in the Bible, and those two are philos and eros. And those two are subjected to change on the circumstances. Philios is a type of friendly love, And Eros is a type of affectionate, a type of sexual love. And that is subject to change on the circumstance. But agape does not. And it's very important to make this parallel with us and Christ. Thinking about the many times that we have disobeyed God's word and disobeyed his commandments. And he continually keeps loving us with agape, unconditional love, which simply means that his love does not change. When God created man in his image and in his likeness in the first day, in the beginning of the creation, God rested on him his Holy Spirit. And so the love of God was in man. Now, man sinned against God's commandments, and man lost the Holy Spirit. Now, ever since then, God has been trying to enter his Holy Spirit into man and make him holy again. God's Holy Spirit left man, but God's love for man did not change. Does it make any sense? God's Holy Spirit left man, meaning man was no longer under the influence of the Holy Spirit because he had sinned against the law of God. But God's love for man did not change. It was there with a passionate consistency. This is the consistency that is really important in the conversion process and the conviction process. I was reading somewhere and it says that beholding Christ dying on the cross, many people were converted by beholding that, because the Bible says that greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So because God loves us so much, he laid down his life for us. And some folk that were at the cross that did not even truly understand the entire story were converted. It didn't say convicted. They weren't moved. They were converted by beholding Christ dying on the cross for us in love. And I think we're going to, you know, we could look at the second aspect there, joy. Anybody has any comments you'd like to make concerning love?
Joy is something that is extremely important and something that sometimes you can see missing from a lot of sincere Christians' lives, because you have people who claim that they have the love of God and that, you know, they're enjoying the Christian experience, but yet you never see a smile on their face. They're always miserable looking. And you wonder if you want anything to do with their Christianity just because they always look kind of long-faced and unhappy. And so joy is a major sign that you actually enjoy where you are. You enjoy what you're doing. You enjoy being a part of this whole Christian experience. And that is essential.
Mm-hmm. And I like how these fruits of the Spirit are aligned. It seems to be aligned in a certain type of chronology. Now, love must come before joy. I think rather joy is an expression of love. We have, you know, like you said, various people who try to be happy and try to show some type of incorrect depiction of what joy should be, or whatever the case is. But love must come before joy. Actually, this is the part where it gets, and not this is the part where it gets, but this is actually the unselfish nature of God being revealed here in these verses. Now, love and joy. Now, the Bible says that God is love, okay? And because God is love and God is unselfish, God cannot keep his love to himself. He must share it because love is unselfish. And so what happens is that God made man, and God had bestowed the love that he wanted to share with man so much, he bestowed it on man. And because of that, man had the joy of love. Understand that when we become Christians, or when we are excited about something, someone, a place, wherever it may be, it is a selfless expression of love. It is not love, but it is an expression of love. They're different, but somehow they interconnect and they intertwine. And joy is an expression of that that unselfish love, and it is a reflection of your experience with God. True love comes only from God. You cannot find it in anything else, because the Bible says that God is love. And if God is love, and he is a definition of love, then love cannot come out of anything else.
Has joined the conference.
And so that's very important for us to understand. And if you look at the word joy, it says Jesus, J-Y, Jesus, J, then others, O, and then yourself. Which basically means that you're unselfishly putting other people's priorities and, their well-being before yours, which is exactly what God did. When he came down, he died for us on the cross. Okay. Any questions on that?
Has joined the conference.
Okay. If we have an addition, welcome, Sister Natalie.
Thank you.
Dorothy Palmer.
Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Palmer. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay. We were just discussing the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and we finished talking about love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And actually, we just spoke about love and joy. We established that the love that is being spoken about here is agape love. There's three types of love. There's agape, phileos, and eros. And the one that is talking about here is agape love, which is one that comes from God. It's unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we discussed that when Jesus died on the cross, many people were converted by beholding his death, or beholding his suffering on the cross. And they were not convicted, they were converted. And so
mm-hmm.
we find that the converting process is unconditional. It remains consistent throughout circumstance, throughout situation, throughout tribulation. And we went to joy, and we established that the chronology of this list is important, because without love, you cannot have joy.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is an expression of love. We were just talking about when God created man, God placed his Holy Spirit
upon
or in man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited to share, because God cannot, the Bible says God is love. God cannot keep his love to himself. He must share it.
Mm-hmm.
Love is unselfish. You read that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is unselfish. It does not seek its own self.
Mm-hmm.
Not easily puffed up, things of that nature. And so, because God desired to share this love, this perfect, the perfect love with man, he made man and he bestowed it on man. And as a result of that love that was in man, through the Holy Spirit, man was able to have joy.
Mm-hmm.
The joy which is a reflection of the love of God. And very important that, you know, like I was saying before, we bear these fruits, or that we allow God to work these fruits in us. If we, when you look at a tree, the only way to know what type of tree it is if it has fruit on it. You know, and I'm talking about any tree. If I stand and I look at a tangerine tree. Matter of fact, it's usually some common ones. A tangerine, an orange, and a grapefruit. Okay? If I take all the fruits off of those trees, it is very unlikely that you might be able to tell which one is which one, because all of them are in the same family. But when I see the fruits on the tree, that's how I can say, okay, this is a tangerine, this is an orange, and this is a grapefruit.
You see the fruits. The fruits come from a tree, right? Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why Jesus said, all men will know that if you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's talking about the fruit. We are the trees, and the fruit is of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And whatever Spirit is living in us will manifest that fruit. And there we have it, love and joy. We're just going to do one more. Peace. Now, peace is actually something that most people do not have. Why? Because they do not have faith. Now, faith comes a little bit down in the faith comes a little bit more down in the verses, but it says love, joy, peace. Okay? Now, you have love, you have joy. It is highly impossible for you to have love and not have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, you cannot have peace until you experience joy and love. Okay? Now we want the definition of peace. Now we hear about peace all the time, you know. Peace be still. My peace I leave with you. My peace is not as the world give I unto you. You know, with prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. What is this peace?
It's tranquility.
That we're talking about here. Anybody want to, you know, give
yeah, a... Can I say a little bit about peace here?
Yeah, sure.
Completeness, soundness, well-being of that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered tranquility. It's tranquility. Physical meaning suggests security also, contentment, prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It says here, absent of war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absent of war. So I guess we war within, you know.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is highly debatable, but, you know, we know a lot of people say, well, we have peace.
But listen to this too. It says peace is often referred to the inner tranquility and poise of the Christian who trusts is in God through Christ.
Yeah, that's trust in God through Christ. Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, peace. It's something, you know, just to let you know, peace is something that develops over time. You know, you're not gonna go get baptized today and you know, have perfect peace. Okay, there's things that are going to come up that are going to be for the trial and for the working of your patience, or not your patience, your peace. The peace of God is the love of God, is the joy of God. It's the joy and the love of knowing or depending on God, knowing that whatever He does or whatever you find yourself in, God is able and will bring you through it. And a lot of, you know, some people, you know, look at the economy and, you know, where the jobs are going and so on and so forth. I was just out in the field this week, and a lot of people were requesting prayer for the state and prayer for the job situation and prayer for the economy, that the economy makes a turnaround. Because what's bothering them is the fact that they do not have enough money to finance their bills.
See, they're not sure. They're insecure.
Right.
Because it says here that there's a trust and quiet in mind and in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
That it, and it has to do with reconciliation with God.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually that's a good point that you made. Reconciliation. Because from the time we disconnect with God, we lose peace. Mm-hmm. And this whole list here is, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. And so you know, peace is important, and as we go through the day today, you know, let us remember these things, love, joy, and peace. These are just the first three ingredients, the first three fruits of the Spirit that are actually very necessary for us to have and enjoy that Christian experience with God. And we want to make it in such a way that when we receive this, we share it with people. As a matter of fact, when we receive God's love and we get God's joy and His peace, we cannot keep it to ourselves. It would be so overwhelming that we would need to share it with other people. So, let us today try as much as possible to share our experience, our faith with God. Share our, not with God, with people. Share our experiences and let them know about Jesus, because quite frankly, we don't have a lot of time left. We don't know when God or Jesus Christ will be coming a second time. And He says, you know, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation, mm-hmm. lest you become lackadaisical. Watch and pray. And, let us watch, let us pray, and let us remember to share as well. And God will give us a tremendous blessing. And on top of that, save us in His eternal kingdom, along with all those people we would have ministered to.
Can I just add one more thing here?
Yes, sure.
Colossians, I think it's Colossians 3:14.
Mm-hmm.
The eight graces that God talks about, which, you know, without love we can't have those eight graces, because God is grace also.
Right.
And as a people, as Christians, as God's children, those graces were given to us. That the purpose of His death brought on those graces, grace and mercy. But this, He said that without love, because love is the last realm of that those graces. But He said, above all these things, put on love,
mm-hmm.
which is the bond of perfection, the bond of perfection. So if you don't have love, you cannot put on that bond of perfection, will not come. So we should be striving for that love, that agape love, through His grace. We get that from Him, by the way. You know, it's an inheritance thing. So.
I'm sorry. And two, it's important for us to allow God to work in us that love.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have been blinded by circumstance, situations that happened before, and it becomes almost impossible for them to open up their hearts to God so that He can fill them, because they're feeling like they do, if they, you know, they trust, they open up themselves, and they're going to get hurt again, and they don't want to go through this whole thing again, so they just close themselves up to it. And so, you know, as rightly said, it is a bond of perfection. is key. Anyone else have any other comments to make? Quite silent. I hope did you guys understand? Is it a little too
much? It's very clear. I'm just thinking about the recurring theme for the past few weeks. It's been the fruits. We did a Bible study, and it was about the fruits of the Spirit, because a lot of people had a different conception of when you are filled with the Spirit. And, you know, the less we tied in the fruits of the Spirit. And then on Sabbath again, it was all about the fruits of the Spirit. And it's like, oh, my gosh. We don't understand how deep and how involved having the fruits of the Spirit, you know, is. And as Christians, we lack a lot of these fruits. And I like the way you phrase it, where, you know, each one builds on the prior one. All of them build on love. And in our Christian experience, you know, you could go a lifetime without having them, and then that person got to think, I'm like, okay, what's going on in my experience with God? Why don't I have all the fruits of the Spirit? And you know, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, and if you are doing what you should be doing as a Christian, you know, ultimately we all should be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. We should all have the fruits of the Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, when people should see us, that should be a witness that, you know, there goes a child of God. You know, so that's about it. That's what I was thinking.
That's why he said, when people see us, they will know who we belong to.
Exactly.
Because that identify us with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's an identification brand, you know. It's a brand.
Mm-hmm. That's the evidence.
Yeah.
That's the evidence. And not the one that most people think is the evidence.
I think there was something I was reading that says the man said, oh, I'm coming with you because I can see God is with you.
Right.
Can you imagine we walk in and somebody say, oh, I'm coming with you because I know I'm saved because I can see God. You know, it's like, wow, we that's why he said that others... Let your light shine, what? Others can see him in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you see in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a label. It's a brand.
Right. And just to add to that, I remember the preacher on Sabbath, he said that, imagine the church was supposed to look like what the church was supposed to do. What if the church was filled, or the church had the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit?
Mm.
The world would come looking for the church.
For us, yes.
All those evangelists, whatever we'll be doing them still, but the world want to know what's going on with us and what we have, and they would want some of what we have. So the church will come looking for us because of all the fruit.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because the thing that I want to do in the park, the theme is the unity of believers. You said
right.
We have one mind, one purpose, one will. Can you imagine that? You know, wow, somebody's doing something you automatically know is about God. And boy, you're so excited for them and you're in it with them. And, oh, God, no question. Because that has to be elevated. In other words, you're willing to just join them and make it happen for the glory of God. Because it's one mind, one spirit, one purpose.
And the thing is that when we're on the same accord,
yes,
Holy Spirit is going to fall on us. Latter rain.
You guys are hot this morning, man. I like that.
Almighty God. You know, and my thing is, we're all getting off at, we're all going to that definite destination. Exit 13. That definite destination. Not exit 10, not exit 11, exit 13. You know?
Uh-huh.
Exit 13. We're going. We the baton, remember the baton, how they run the race? He's telling G. White, said what? She said, you know, our mind has to be so strong, because the first place the enemy attack is the mind. The mind is a servant to the body. So here we go, we're running the baton, right? You know, the other person is there ready to hand it to you. The focus is on that definite destination.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Because you run in and you know that if you take your eye for a minute off where you're going, what's going to happen? The baton, you're not going to get it out of his hand. Or if you try it when you run in because you're not focused, it might drop from him when you try to pick it up from out of his hand, right? Focus, that definitely. So I said we have a race to win. We have a race to win. We're running the race.
Right.
So we all have to have that unity, oneness, like the Father does. He made the example. My Father and I are one.
Amen. Amen.
It would be nice if everybody in the church was united. But, I mean, the reality of it is that, you know, the wheat and the tear has to go together.
Yeah,
and
but, you
if,
know.
If you're going together, you can't be always, you can't be united. I mean, one of us is about the Father's business, while other people is all about the show, and the two doesn't mix, then you're trying to move forward doing God's work, and the other group is trying to tear you down.
But
so,
you know,
I mean,
what? There seems to be more wheat than more tears. And what do I mean by that? You know, do you know that it takes, when you go to court, right? You have 10 people in the court trying to make a decision. Do you know it takes one person in that courtroom to have a different mindset to break up all the other nine? One person speak out and say, hey. You know, I remember one day I was in the train and the man was preaching, and he was preaching some good old gospel. You know, you don't hear, you know, anymore the gospel, you know. And a young man stood up and said, get out. Get out. We don't want to hear this. Nobody said anything. And I tell you something, I knew it wasn't me speaking because I jumped. I said, excuse me, don't speak for me. I want to hear it. And let me tell you something. If a pin had fell in that train, you would have heard it.
Wow.
And everybody turned around and said, I want to hear it too. It takes one person. Do you know that? So the wheat is there. But you know what? The tears are stronger. So if we are together, it makes a big difference. But a lot of us are scared. That's why power, love, and a sound mind is so important. That's why certain qualities within us is so important. That's why faith is so important. We shouldn't be intimidated by nothing. Like Paul says, what? And I don't mean to take over. I get excited, you know. You have to forgive me. What Paul says. Say, God's word should not be in chain. Boy, we should be full of enthusiasm, full of excitement. God's word is life. We should be full of life. You know, life penetrates from one person to the other. You see? So when we're doing God's word, it's like, wow. You know, it's an addiction. Everybody who has him within us would just get up. Question, no question ask. You just know he's about God. You just know you have a mission and a purpose. And that's why the one mind, one purpose, one will comes in. So even though the wheat is in the church, it's okay because those same wheat could be converted through us.
Yep.
We can make that conversion happen. You know, because they start to feed off of what we're giving out because that's more powerful.
Yes.
Still, the Spirit take over? Spirit
yes.
Take charge. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. That's why faith is so important. That's why love is so important. It is seen. Love is seen. You know, so may God help us.
This is a hot conversation this morning. However, though, must close at this time. This morning, I'm going to close out in prayer. We're just going to ask the Lord to help us to be in one accord. And
amen.
To really, you know, hasten his coming. So we're gonna pray. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Father, we give you praise and thanks for waking us up again this morning. We thank you for the breath that we have in our bodies. We thank you, Lord, that you have preserved our going out and our coming in from this week, from the weeks before, the months before, the years before. We just ask that you will continue, Lord, to show and guide us Lord, we have just been discussing the fruits of the Spirit. We know, Lord, it is your desire that we bear fruit, the fruits of love, the fruits of peace, and the fruits of joy.
Amen.
Help us, O God, to be on one accord. We know, Lord, that we will never receive the Holy Spirit's outpouring if we are not on one accord. So help us, Lord, that we know that the wheat and the tares will grow together. And, Lord, help us to have influence on some of those tares. And use your Holy Spirit to gather them. Use us and you work through us to bring other people to you, Lord. Help us to have the spirit of evangelism to bring those people in into your fold and into your kingdom. And when you come a second time, please save us in your return to the kingdom. If each and every one of us today are going on a different place to work, to school, wherever it may be, I pray, Lord, that the first three fruits of the Spirit will be manifested in us today, the peace, joy, and love. May someone today come to call you blessed and say, I have seen someone who has definitely been with Jesus and would like to follow. We give you praise and we give you thanks for what you do for us even today. And we expect great things of you, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
This was one.